It's such a shame that people, also again because of the political literacy that is also not trained nationally, people are not aware of the importance of European politics. But 70% of everything or every policy that is integrated in national politics or the law book comes from Europe, 70%. So it is actually more important than national politics, if I can say this. It still feels super distant from people, and we need to find a way of going around this.
Welcome to Your Voice Matters podcast. I'm your host, Inês Moura, executive vocal coach. This season aims to spotlight amazing people who have incredible stories and significant missions. I hope you feel empowered, inspired, and ready to use your voice to make a difference. Hello, welcome to today's episode. My guest is Ria Lopes. Ria studied public relations and then went on studying international relations and European politics. More recently in life, she completed a second master's in European legal studies. Currently works at the European Parliament as a parliamentary assistant and is now running as a candidate for European elections for the Pan-European Party Volt on behalf of Portugal. Welcome, Ria, to this podcast.
Thank you, Inês. Thank you very much for having me.
We met a few months ago here in Brussels, and what struck me was your passion for politics, and also you dedicate part of your recent life to it. So I would like to know a bit more about your journey, and when did you decide to join politics?
Yeah. Okay, so thank you for introducing me. Indeed, my name is Ria and I'm from Portugal. I was born in Albufeira and I studied in Lisbon. I studied, as you said, public relations. Then I went to the Netherlands and studied international relations and EU politics. And more recently, I did a second master's degree, as you also said. I've been working in Brussels since 2019, and I always kept an eye on environmental and animal welfare politics, and this is what made me want to work in politics, because I realized that the best ways to make things change. Activism is very needed, but what about political activism? That sounds even more efficient, actually targeting the issue at the source. In 2019 there were elections, and then I applied to work for, I would say, the only MEP from our country, Portugal, that cares about these issues, and that's where I've been working ever since, 2019. Okay. And at the moment, as you said, I'm running for Volt Portugal as a European candidate. It's not something I've always wanted to do, be a candidate, represent the country. I actually just want to do policy making. I'm okay to be in the back scene, but I got the proposal and I couldn't say no, because I struggle to say no. When a door opens, I need to go through it.
It must be really challenging. I'm curious to know a bit more how you, what is the process of becoming a candidate, and so how does it work inside a party?
Yeah. So to be a candidate, I'm not sure exactly how it is in the majority of parties, but in Volt, everything is voted by the members, and that includes the political program, measure by measure, the board, the candidates. So I was voted in, I'm number two on the list. So it's all voted by the members.
And can you tell us a bit more about Volt as well? Because I think it's I would say it's a new party, not that new. I think you have 8 years, 10 already, yeah, of existence.
Yeah, so Volt Portugal is part of a bigger structure, a bigger network called Volt Europa. And it's a pan-European party because it exists in many different countries of Europe, not only the EU, but of Europe. And the idea... Well, actually, maybe let's go a bit back in time. It was founded by three young people, German, French, and an Italian. And it was around Brexit when it was happening or just happened. And they decided, or they were talking, they said, look, this is really going the wrong way. People they're not united anymore. They're going different ways. Populism is growing. Hate is growing. So we feel like we need to reshape the way politics is being done, because it's clearly not getting people's attention anymore and is not, corresponding to the needs of society. So Volt was created. Mm-hmm. The first year they ran, they elected for Volt Germany, and Volt has currently one MEP, so from Volt Germany. And now it's been growing all over Europe. Volt Portugal was meanwhile established, Volt Spain, Volt Slovakia, all these other Volts. And it's this great big movement created, moved by young people, and not only young people, but mainly young people, volunteers all around Europe, wanting mm-hmm. to make something work and change the political scene in Europe.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned before when you want to make a change, it's not just by activism, but the politics is when you actually can influence policies and how things really work. What do you think, youth or young people, normally they say, politics, I don't care, etc. So what do you think that prevents more young people to be interested in politics, to join a political party?
So political literacy is not trained at schools, and this is a very big shame. Not everybody knows what's going on in politics. Schooling systems don't help that. If you don't come from a political family or family that talks about politics, you also don't know really what is going on unless you have an eye for it and you're really interested. And this happened to me. I don't come from a family that's in politics or that talks about politics. Also, the fact that politics nowadays doesn't focus on facts, science, constructive dialogue really puts people away. And the debates for the national elections in Portugal were an example of this. Focusing mm-hmm. on attacks, focusing on you did this, you did that. Why can't we have a constructive approach? Even taking into account that different parties have different views on things, but maybe we can make it work somehow. And people don't have patience for these political games. Even I at the European Parliament get super frustrated because you just feel like shaking people like, just say what you want to say, come on. But sometimes they say what they want to say, and it's, for me, it's completely in the wrong direction. It won't lead to where we need to go, particularly with environmental issues. So politicians, they have failed people, they have failed young people. People don't believe in politics anymore. And that's why we need to have more people in politics, younger people in politics. We need to stimulate political literacy. We need to make sure that we are promoting parties that have structures that are not rigid, that are open to people. And I think that for this, you need new parties, because the old structures are just too old to change. It's just in many occasions corrupted inside. So the way to solve this is for people to get politically engaged. And when I talk to people from NGOs, and I have a lot of contact with NGOs and civil society organizations because of the policy field I'm very interested in, what I tell them is, make sure to tell your followers to vote for the European elections. It's going to be the moment to push for the area, the policy field that you are pushing for. So get engaged in politics. Make sure your followers do the same.
Yes, I think what you said is really true, that the way politics is organized really puts people away, because you don't see the constructive dialogue and, okay, this is not productive, just one attacking the other, and it's like choosing sides instead of trying to get together, to come together with a solution that is really actually working for society. And that's also why I also imagine why so many people are not interested in that. And you were saying about NGOs and also the environmental causes. Coming again to activism, I remember in some of the debates that we had in Portugal, there was some demonstrations on activists, and they tried to influence, by disrupting and creating a little bit What is your view on that?
Yeah, so I think there are more ways that are more valid to bring attention to certain issues, and I don't think that destroying public structures is necessarily the way to push for certain issues. This doesn't apply only to environmental causes. For example, the farmers here in Brussels, you also are Brussels-based. You know what they've been doing to the city, not only in Brussels, but in other countries. And it is not the correct way to advocate for something. And also, I've been seeing the police not acting. They are setting on fire wood in the middle of the streets. They are blocking metro entrances with fire. They are distributing manure or fighting police forces with manure. This is not the way to get things done. And it's also worthy noting that there is a difference. Maybe you've also noticed a difference in the way that social media media and people have been reacting to the activists from climate and activists from the farming sector. The climate activists, they are just completely hated. And the farmers, they're like, yeah, they are entitled to protest. Let them protest. So I don't see the uproar with the farmers that I see with the climate activists. And I think that is really a shame because both movements are super interlinked, even though one of the parts might not recognize that. But yeah, it's just some disconnection. But okay, summarizing my reply to your question, I do not think that destroying public structures or furniture, I don't know the right word, is the way to go. But I do see a pressing need to push for environmental issues. And the truth is that Greta Thunberg, the Swedish activist that started all of this environmental movement, just with words and with striking, she has accomplished a lot. And she did not, from my knowledge,
destroy
any... Yeah, or delve into these more aggressive tactics. It's... Yeah, she received hate, but hate from people who were like, yeah, go back to school, being condescending towards her, go back to school, kind of thing.
You were mentioned about Greta, and there is different opinions about that. But as you said, in a very specific way, she was able to accomplish and draw attention to a lot of issues, and she started a global movement. There are other young people that already made a change.
Young people per se, I am not sure about any names, but I could, for example, speak about the unpaid internships campaign that many NGOs have been advocating for years and years. And now finally there is action on this at a European level. It's not from what I read last, which was early this week or last week. It's not going exactly where it should be going, but it's going in the right direction. And this was due to public societal pressure. And then also we have the example of the European Citizens Initiative, which is basically another name for petition, a European official petition that you can submit if you reach the threshold of, I think, 1 million signatures. And there was one to ban cages in farming, and it passed the signatures by many, many signatures. And the commission accepted the petition, said, yeah, we're going to do something about this. We're going to ban cages in farming. But then towards the mandate, with all the pressure from the farmers, seeing the success of the BBB part in the Netherlands, seeing all the farmer protests all over Europe, they backed away. They completely left citizens empty-handed, and they said, yeah, we're not going to do it. So there are many successful initiatives, but then you need political will, the right political representatives in place to make sure that your voice is heard and attended.
And what about you? You mentioned the lobbies, and I think it's an interesting angle to explore. On one side, you have the citizens who clearly want to go in a certain direction, and then they push for policies, they pressure the commission, etc. And then you have the lobbies that are very well installed. How can we fight this in a fair way? How can we tackle, you know, this such Yeah, strong forces.
Yeah. So that's the biggest challenge of my job, I would say. And it is very frustrating because science is ignored and many times facts are twisted. And you've seen that a lot with this farmers' protests or protests to water down environmental regulations applied to the farming sector. And what is the trick to fight this? So many NGOs have over the decades been in Brussels trying to make sure that the environment or environmental issues and health issues are another issues from other societal, social issues as well, but to make sure that they go forward. And it's always been this constant battle because the world is moved by money. Money is what moves politics, many of the politics and politicians. For things to happen, like I said before, you need to make sure that the right politicians are in place. And the parliament we have at the moment, the one that was elected in 2019, was the best parliament ever because it was also the most progressive party. And it meant that we could advance the green agenda and social issues and other issues. The food policy was completely ruined. Nobody wanted to do anything about it anymore. I mean, many people did, but the people that had the actual hand on the button, they didn't want to.
The power.
So it will always depend on who you elect. And that's why everybody needs to vote.
Going back to numbers, we need numbers. We need more people participating. We need more people voting. We were discussing before we start recording, so off the record, we were discussing about the weight about national elections versus European elections. And many people focus on their regional, almost or national, you know, what is the prime minister or who is, you know. And sometimes we don't know that actually the biggest weight on policies comes from Europe and not specifically from each of the countries in. So we must pay a lot of attention on how and who we elect for the European elections. And of course, the national level is important, but what is your perspective on that? Like the awareness about really where decisions are made versus, you know, local small decisions. And if we want to tackle the big issues, where we should put our right vote.
Yes, indeed. It's such a shame that people also, again, because of the political literacy that is also not trained nationally, people are not aware of the importance of European politics. But 70% of everything or every policy that is integrated in national politics or the law book comes from Europe, 70%. So it is actually more important than national politics, if I can say this. Yes, it still feels super distant from people. And we need to find a way of going around this because I would add to that, I would also add that it is a shame that during European election campaigns, at least in my country, our country, I see politicians focusing on things that are not even of EU competence. You know, they fight about national issues that would never really be dealt at EU level. So this doesn't help people understand a bit more about the importance of the European Union. And I'm very curious for this campaign now, for the elections in June, to see if this narrative has changed, you know, to see if finally they're going to focus on Europe, on communicating Europe, on communicating their ideas for a Europe that is more united and that is going in the right direction.
Or not. As a message of hope, because we mentioned that we are not taught about politics in school. At least in Portugal, we don't have any education around that. If you are not coming from a family that is into politics, then we have social media that distorts a lot of the messages. So we are not basing our decisions on facts, but in opinions and choosing sides and you are this or that or attacking, personal attacks, etc. So how can... What advice, where if someone young wants to make a change, because it's frustrating to see that the future getting compromised somehow in several ways, like the climate is one of them, but also social justice and the, you know, the rise of right wings, you know, parties, etc. Of course, you see your future threatened.
Yeah.
So how to start? You know, how do you educate yourself? Should you go to the party's websites and, you know, read the programs and see, you know, because sometimes it's not also easy to understand. What advice you would give to young people?
Yeah. So indeed, yes, reading the political programs is a great way to start understanding a bit more what each party stands up for. But I mean, I do think the way they act, the political party, the way they act on a daily basis or during communications is maybe a bit more interesting because, and especially the ones that have been in power so far, you can see what they've done, what they spoke out against or in favor of, because writing is very, very easy, but then acting is another step forward. I mean, you need more effort for that. So, yeah, reading the political programs is a step forward. But the best thing that you can do after you found a party that you might be interested in joining is engaging with the party, talking, arranging a meeting, seeing how you can help with the party. If that's your intention, you can also just be a passive member, and that's already great. Giving support, that's very needed. But if you want to have a more proactive role, you can also join the party. And Volt, for example, we're very open to that, and we have a completely open structure. For example, I'm a candidate, but I haven't been in Volt that long, and it was just a natural process of voting selection of people and an open debate within the whole party. Find a party that fits in with you, and for me, it was Volt, because it's this open structure where people can just go in. They can't just go in, but you join the party and you are
send
integrated.
An email and say, hey, I wanna go to a meeting,
yeah,
or I want
you
to...
can do that. But it's if you want to help, we want you to help. We want you in the team, this kind of nature. And Volt, we're pragmatic, we're science based, and as I said before, we're moved by young people. So we're very hungry to have people join us and help this movement grow, which has been growing since 2019 and is still going. And that says maybe a lot about the movement.
No, it's good. It's an amazing progress. Of course, people still don't know a lot because they are, you know, they know the big parties, the ones that are in power for many years. And sometimes if we want to change something, you also need to change our vote and need to change a little bit, open our perspectives to, okay, who's new? What are the new parties? What they do defend? And also if you are aligned with that or not. But I would say that reading, exploring, getting interested, seeing the programs, going to meetings, and also talking to people that are connected to those parties as well, you know, expand a little bit the network. And to see exactly what is the party that is more aligned with your values.
Yeah.
And that's also why I got so interested in knowing more about this party and also giving voice to it in my podcast, because I found so interesting that a new party is trying to have some moderate democratic approach to society. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. I never, you know, really heard about Volt and had what are the things. And I think it's interesting, so interesting that you are all around Europe. So it's like not just a local movement, it's a global movement. And I hope that you can inspire more and more young people, and not that young people, also people from all ages to join any political in this specific, of course, this is your party, but I think participation in politics is really important, and not just, you know, staying at home when it's needed to vote. So yes, and this is a decisive year, so that's also why we are talking about elections and politics and women and also I would like to ask you, I forgot before, as a last thought, for women in politics, I've been also in a lot of debates here in Brussels, and I also know how tough can be for a woman to join politics. Do you have any personal experience to share in that regard?
So I followed very closely the social media management of the national campaign, and our lead was Inês, not you, but another Inês.
And it wasn't me.
No, sure. And so I was seeing in firsthand the comments that appeared on social media, and it was so shameful to see that the comments focused on the way she looked or what she said, or there was one comment which I took a print screen and I'll never forget, or, oh, go and clean the dishes. So it can be very frustrating for a woman in politics. I haven't had that to this degree so far. And I do hope to not get it, because if you get in touch with these comments, it will have some kind of impact on you, unless you have already a very thick skin. I do think, and I've heard this from colleague MEPs, that you have to prove yourself more than men do as a politician. I think in my job, it is also applicable to the job of an assistant, a female assistant, parliamentary assistant. But for the MEPs, it's to another degree, because the cameras are on you. But I think that we are paving the way to change this, and I'm very happy to see more female commenters on national TV in Portugal, for example, to see more politicians not in the national parliament, because that went down apparently, but in the European level, at the European level. And and also one more thing, I think that women need to be more friends between themselves, more supportive. Because you also see a lot of negative comments coming from women, and women to be a team. So I think that also needs to change a lot. Yeah.
Well, and indeed we need everyone, not only and I know how sometimes women think twice before getting that exposure, and we have seen in different countries as well how women step back from politics. And that's also why we need to support these women, and not and of course these comments are really shameful, and that's why you think twice, and if you take them personally, then, or as you said, you have a thick skin, or otherwise your mental health is really compromised. So any final recommendation or thought on this topic of amplifying youth voices in politics? Any final inspirational, because it is a difficult topic. And thank you so much for sharing. So one last thought.
Yeah, so the first thing I would say is vote, even if it's a blank vote. It's super important to vote. You need to choose who are your 21 representatives at the European Parliament and the 230 in the Portuguese Parliament. Because in the end, these people will decide the future for you. Now, if you don't want to just be a passive voter, you can also get involved in politics. And for this, you would need to find a party that is aligned with how you feel, your ideals, your values.
So where can people find more about you and vote?
So you can find me on social media. It's Ria Lopes on Instagram. And you can find more about Volt also on Instagram. And if you want to join Volt, learn more about what we defend, read our policy program, you can find it in our website, voltportugal.org or volteuropa.org, which is the main structure. And then there you'll find all the information you need. And you can always text me and I'll reply.
Great. Ria, thank you so much for sharing your view on this topic. It was really a pleasure to have you here and to open our eyes to the importance of voting, participating in democratic this process, and the elections this year, because it's really can really dictate the future. Thank you for your presence in this podcast, and thank you so much. Your voice matters.
Thank you, Inês. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
I hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you want to have a chat with me, go to my website or social media and book your 30 minutes discovery call. I'll be happy to help you achieve your voice and communication goals. And always remember, your voice matters.
Let's make sure we keep talking.